This is Washington Watch with Tony Perkins, your daily voice in Washington, D.C. on the issues of faith, family, and freedom. And now, here's your host, Family Research Council President Tony Perkins.
Well, good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to this Columbus Day edition of Washington Watch. While no one is complaining about having a day off of work on this federal holiday, some are complaining about who the holiday is commemorating. In Los Angeles, a Christopher Columbus statue was covered and a chain-link fence erected around it as the city renamed the holiday Indigenous Peoples Day. We've seen the removal of statues of Southern generals, protests regarding the national anthem, and now revived demands that Christopher Columbus be written out of history. Is American history being eradicated? Does it matter? Former university professor and now Virginia Congressman Dave Brat joins me in just a moment. And a Wisconsin federal judge who has a history of decisions that are hostile toward religious liberty handed down a ruling today declaring the Ministerial Housing Alliance, which is a tax benefit granted to the clergy, she said it's unconstitutional. We'll talk about it with Ken Klukowski of First Liberty Institute a little bit later here on Washington Watch. Also, the Values Voters Summit starts this week, and Values voters have... well, they have a lot to celebrate after Friday's announcement from the Department of Justice regarding guidelines telling federal agencies that they're to protect and promote religious liberty. Also, the Trump administration, turning back the Obama contraceptive mandate. One of the many speakers from the Values Voter Summit, former Congresswoman Michelle Bachmann, will join us later. The website, TonyPerkins.com. If you're on Twitter, it is at TPerkins. By the way, still room for you. With the Values Voter Summit starts Friday. Hopefully tomorrow I'll announce a special guest. But go to the website, TonyPerkins.com. Great lineup of speakers. There's still room for you, but you got to register soon. So, again, go to TonyPerkins.com. Follow the links over to the Values Voter Summit. All right, as I mentioned, today is Columbus Day, a nationally recognized holiday that commemorates the landing of Christopher Columbus on October 12th, 1492. You remember Christopher Columbus sailed the ocean blue in 1492? Isn't that how it goes? Anyway, but the left, groups like Antifa, are, they've got their sights, crosshairs, I should say, set on Christopher Columbus more than 511 years after his death. With us now is Congressman Dave Brat. He represents the 7th Congressional District of Virginia. He is a former professor at Randolph-Macon College in Virginia. Congressman, as an educator, former educator, and now as an elected leader from the Commonwealth of Virginia, what do you think about these efforts to erase our history? What's this all about?
Yeah, Tony, thanks for having me on. I've spent 20 years teaching this stuff, the history of ideas, and America, the United States in particular, is an idea above all else. It's a vision. And the easiest way I can answer is just to say, if you look back at Harvard, an institution founded by a bunch of Calvinists and Christians, et cetera, the motto back in 1640, not quite back to Columbus, was faith for Christ and church, truth for Christ and church. That was the motto of Harvard. Is that the motto of Harvard anymore? And the answer is no. And in the Judeo-Christian tradition, we go out of our way not to force our religion on folks, but the vision we sketched out produced religious toleration for all people. And Jefferson and Madison, both from my quarters in Virginia over here, were most proud of their work on religious toleration, et cetera. So we sketched out a vision that has been the envy of the world, and I think that's part of the problem. We are an exceptional nation. It's been grounded in the Judeo-Christian tradition. Out of the Judeo-Christian tradition comes the rule of law. And then if you're really lucky, you get Adam Smith and free markets, and you become the richest, most powerful nation on the world as well. And so in the history of thought, the Marxists came about mid-19th century, 1840 or so, and they have a radically different view of the world. And that's that they're good and we're the bad guys. And they have been trying to deconstruct Western traditions and Western philosophy, and especially the Judeo-Christian tradition, for the last 100 years. And they're bearing some fruit. They've, in a large measure, they've taken over the universities. K-12 is not so bad, but the universities, there's just an aggressive war going on against the Judeo-Christian tradition, the rule of law, et cetera. You can see it. There's no more Western civ taught in most of the best universities. Brown University doesn't have any curriculum at all. And so we're doing our best in Congress, but this really has to be a people thing. I'm not the leader or the boss. The people have to demand their country back, and that's what we're dealing with all this identity politics. The Obama guys, luckily, a week or two ago, wrote a few pieces, the architects of the identity politics, race and gender, and all said they're failing. And so the left has overshot in the short run here, and they've given up on their own labor movement to such an extent that they lost Michigan and Pennsylvania and Ohio, et cetera, in the last election. So we have a chance to once again get it right. The American people will. I still have faith. God's at work. But that's my lay of the land.
Well, folks, you've heard of classes in session this afternoon with Professor Dave Bratt, Congressman from the 7th Congressional District of Virginia, former college professor. Dave, let me ask you about this, though. Is it just more evident, or is this effort accelerating?
Oh, it's accelerating, definitely, Tony. Yeah, when I got to Randolph-Macon College 20 years ago, you basically had Republicans and Democrats. And the Democrats were, you know, in large part just, you know, liberals. They had faith in the federal government, that thing. They could function well, and the federal government might do some good stuff. My wife and I were watching part of the historical series last night, Vietnam. And JFK was speaking, and he was asked about the war in real terms, et cetera. And he gave very honest responses, right? And so there's your old Democrat Party. That's not what we have anymore. In the last 10 years, the left, the hard left, and you see this with Antifa and the resist movement and the Soros-funded groups, et cetera, across the country, they are not liberal in any way, shape, or form, right? And the word liberal comes out of the root word liberty. Mm-hmm. And they have no commitments to the American project, et cetera. It's straight up just a post-Marxist phenomenon. Rousseau, in the History of Ideas, could not quite answer what made human nature go bad. Right? He and Marx were the only two guys that said human nature is good. Everybody else with a brain in the Western canon agreed with the fall and designed a system that would work on the basis of a true human nature. But Marx started that dialogue. He could answer. He said anyone that owns capital is evil, bad, intrinsically bad. And workers are good, and if you own capital, you're bad. And then the post-Marxists, right, the feminists, the leftists, all the toxic groups have come about, and they've added onto that narrative. So now it's the, you know, race and gender and every way of identifying yourself. The 2 weeks ago, I saw for the first time a college professor was truly identifying sexually as a hippopotamus. And there's journal articles. He's published in a journal article on this.
Well, that's
and
big.
That's how far it is. So we're off the map. Yeah, it's accelerated to warp speed, but the American people are not there. And so, but on the other hand, the American people are a little scared, and so leaders like you play a crucial role in helping to get our country back on track.
Well, that brings me right to my next point, and that is, you know, this we're allowing our history to be rewritten because of our silence. And these things
right.
are worth defending because they're our history. Now, it doesn't mean that everything these folks did was right. It doesn't mean we have to agree with them, but it's a part of our history. And the fact that Christopher Columbus, we've recognized the contribution he made to establishing you know, this civilization over here as we know it, he played a part in it. The whole Confederacy, you know, it was a part of our history. Do we agree with everything that was done? Not necessarily, but it was a part of our history. We don't agree with everything. We don't agree with everything
yep.
in history. But the fact of the matter is it is history. And as you talk about the battle for ideas, if we eradicate the very basis for free thought in this country from a standpoint of working within the guardrails of knowing what will lead to prosperity and success, if we eradicate that, where do we go?
Yeah, no, I mean, that's exactly right. And, I mean, you brought up, you know, the terrible sin of America, slavery, et cetera. And, again, who brought it to an end on a mass scale for the first time in Western Civ or Eastern Civ or anywhere? And it was the evangelical Christians.
Right, absolutely.
There's no doubt about it. I had the honor of hearing, and anyone out there ought to listen to this guy, Eric Metaxas. I heard a lot about him with Bonhoeffer, and he just came out with a great Luther book. But just phenomenal leader on exactly this issue. And, again, it goes back to your view of human nature, which basically divides conservatives from liberals. And so everyone has fallen short of God, right? No one stands anywhere close to that nature. And we recognize that, the wiser minds in the Western tradition. And so what's really going on here is on the left, they have a peculiar philosophy that we're all fallen and that they're the good guys, whereas we have the much wiser worldview that we're all fallen. And so they're choosing to hold some ground by saying, look, those people are fallen, so are you, you're just like them, therefore you're fallen, we're good. And too many conservatives are falling for that line because we haven't taught our kids enough of these basic lines of thought. But we got to get it straight. And Metaxas just hits it out of the park.
Yeah,
and he said Luther, without Luther, you would not have the United States of America. And he's the first guy in about 1550 that separated power and started the freedom movement. And then Calvin democratized church pews. And even Karl Marx said, once Calvin democratized church pews, the rest was just an afterthought.
And if you remove from our history anyone who has ever made a mistake, I mean, we would have no history. I mean, all of these people, as you said, we're all that understanding that the Judeo-Christian worldview has, everyone is fallen. We all need a redeemer. And therefore, we understand that. It looks like we're applying a different standard today, looking back on history, and no one measures up.
Yep. No, that's exactly right. And so, you know, you don't want to get into just a barbed fight with the left on this kind of stuff. But, you know, who do you got? Name who you want to put on a statue. And let's put them under a microscope. And within 5 minutes, no individual can bear that scrutiny, right? So when they come down on you, I mean, everybody has flaws in their life. That's not the question. Right. And so we have really gotten way too polarized in the country, and part of it is the church. We have been weak. We have not been doing our job properly, and that was part of the great Bonhoeffer talk Metaxas got into. In Germany, with the Nazi assault, the Protestants were weak in the north, the Catholics were weak in the south. And I wrote in my own book way back when, I said I had the creepy feeling it could happen again. And if we don't stand up, it can happen again.
Yeah.
And the ultimate irony here, right, is the left, after President Trump won, they're the ones that are worried about fascism, which requires a large total state.
And that's exactly where they're pushing. That's where they're pushing.
They're pushing.
Hey, Dave, we're up against a break. We're going to have to continue this conversation sometime. Fascinating. Thanks so much for joining us. We'll talk soon. Folks, don't go away. That was Congressman Dave Brat. To find out more, go to TonyPerkins.com. Coming up next, we talk about a federal judge attacking religious freedom. That's next. Don't go away.
We've gone from give me liberty or give me death to take care of me, please. What has happened to the American spirit? Our colleges were once bastions of free speech. Now they're bastions of speech codes. Our culture once rewarded independence. Now it rewards victimhood. Parents once taught their kids how to fend for themselves. Now, any parent who tries may get a visit from the police. In a talk about his new book, Not a Daycare, Dr. Everett Piper, president of Oklahoma Wesleyan University, takes a hard look at what's happening around the country, including demands for safe spaces and trigger warnings at universities like Yale, Brandeis, and Oberlin, and digs in his heels against the sad and dangerous dumbing down of the American spirit. Dr. Piper has become known for his passionate defense of intellectual freedom, and he challenges the intolerant tolerance of today's academic community. Go to frc.org/speakers to watch. Again, that's frc.org/speakers.
We need you in Washington, D.C. That's right. America is built on the courageous spirit of its people, and it is our duty to preserve the great nation by sustaining religious liberty, defending the unborn, and protecting the family. Take a stand for faith, family, and freedom at the Values Voters Summit on October 13th through 15th in Washington, D.C. Hear from invited and confirmed speakers like President Donald Trump, Vice President Mike Pence, Michelle Bachmann, Secretary Ben Carson, Ambassador Nikki Haley, Kellyanne Conway, Dana Loesch, Franklin Graham, Ollie North, Alveda King, Kevin Sorbo, Bill Robertson, and many more. This is the place to network and meet up with people and organizations that share a Christian worldview and to discuss important issues that will shape the future of our country. Join us at the Values Voters Summit on October 13th through 15th in Washington, D.C. Register now at valuesvotersummit.org or call 1-877-372-2808.
Is being right enough to win an election? Many tend to believe that being right, in the sense of being factually correct, is sufficient to win in politics. Unfortunately, political history proves otherwise. The candidate who organizes and communicates the best will beat the opposition, no matter how right the other side is. Christians who are running for public office have a moral obligation to study and learn how to win. They must discover the real nature of politics. Robert Arnakis knows how to win. As Senior Director for the Leadership Institute, the nation's premier public policy training organization, he has 15 years of grassroots organizing, campaign, fundraising, and communications experience, and has established himself as one of the country's top political trainers. Hear Mr. Arnakis discuss the real nature of politics and how to overcome the odds to win an election. Go to frc.org/speakers to view this timely discussion.
Welcome back to Washington Watch. I'm Tony Perkins. The website, tonyperkins.com. All right, let me remind you, the Values Voter Summit starts this Friday. I guess I will save a seat for you. All right, but you got to register quick. Go to tonyperkins.com, follow the links over. I'm saving you a seat. All right, a ruling just released, Judge Barbara Crabb in the Wisconsin Federal District Court issued a decision calling the Ministerial Housing Allowance, which is it's a tax benefit for the clergy. She ruled it unconstitutional. This ruling could have far-reaching ramifications for religious leaders. And this 60-year-old tax exemption or tax break for them is quite a significant benefit to the clergy. Especially when you consider the wages of the clergy. And it is something the government long ago recognized was to the benefit of communities as a whole. Now, this judge has a long track record of anti-religious decisions. In fact, just a few years ago, she declared the National Day of Prayer unconstitutional. This suit was brought by the Freedom From Religion Foundation, which happens to be in Wisconsin, as well. Joining us now is Ken Klukowski. He is the senior counsel and director of strategic affairs for the First Liberty Institute, specializing in cases involving the First Amendment and freedom of belief and expression. Ken, welcome back to Washington Watch.
Tony, thanks so much for having me and looking forward to joining you at VBS here later in the week. That should be, I think, a fantastic blessing for everyone there.
Well, and I know that you guys are going to be having a panel discussion there on religious liberty because there's a lot happening on that front. Are you surprised by this ruling by Judge Barbara Crabb?
Given that it's Judge Crabb, I would be shockingly surprised if the decision was anything different from what she did in this situation. Judge Crabb is expressing a far-left view of what the Constitution's Establishment Clause means in the First Amendment, where it says Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion. I understand how she reached to the her decision. I think it's wrong, not because she didn't engage in a careful analysis, but because she fundamentally flips on its head what the Establishment Clause is supposed to all be about. So I would be hopeful that in taking this case up on appeal, that other judges with a correct understanding of the Establishment Clause would come to the opposite conclusion.
Now, Ken, she has a history of these types of decisions. I mean,
yeah, give
her
points for consistency.
That's true. Going back to 2010, didn't realize it had been that long ago, is when she ruled the National Day of Prayer was unconstitutional. But she also has a record of being overturned.
That's correct. Judge Crabb tends to, whenever someone brings a lawsuit claiming an Establishment Clause violation, and it's always, in her case, it's always the Freedom From Religion Foundation. As you said, FFRF is based in Western Wisconsin. This is a district court judge for the Western District of Wisconsin. So pretty much all these cases go to her, and they all come out the same way in two respects. One, whoever the plaintiff is, and no matter how theoretical their injury is, like in the case of the National Day of Prayer, they admitted it didn't do anything to us. We didn't even see the president say anything. We never got anything from the White House on it. We just looked it up on the internet and found out today was the National Day of Prayer. And now all of a sudden, oh my goodness, I'm personally injured. You know, it's a concrete, direct injury. I mean, they had this absurd argument that she gave a 60-page opinion explaining why that is sufficient to give these people, FFRF, standing to sue. She always says, first of all, that the plaintiffs have standing to sue, and secondly, whatever they're complaining about violates the Establishment Clause. It's always unconstitutional. So it's so that's right. This is a long track record, and again, she is one of the most consistent judges I think I've ever seen on the bench.
Now, who appointed her to the bench?
That's actually an excellent question. It was a Democratic president, and I'm trying to recall exactly who it is. She's been there a while now.
Now, I tell you what, I have to get a sticker for that because I stumped Ken Kukowski.
Congrats. Thank you very much. It's you know,
that, folks, let me just tell you. Hold on. Folks, let me just tell you, that does not happen often. Ken is like a walking legal encyclopedia. He used to work for me. And he could give me he could cite case, the date, everything involved in any time I ask a question. So I feel very proud of myself now, Ken.
It is so kind of you to say that. In the case of Judge Crabb, she has such a longstanding reputation. I mean, it goes back decades, that she's kind of like an institution unto herself. Now that I've looked it up as you were giving me time, it was actually Jimmy Carter, I was recalling decisions of hers going back decades, so I guess I should have done the math. She's been on since Jimmy Carter, and again, has this far-left misinterpretation of the Establishment Clause, one, though, that is rooted, Tony, in decisions from the Supreme Court in much more liberal days. I'm talking about the late 1960s and the 1970s. And I'm actually encouraged about one aspect of this case, and that is that the Supreme Court had a seminal change of course moving back to the historical meaning of the Establishment Clause in its 2014 case, Town of Greece versus Galloway.
Right.
As cases like this get offered up to the Supreme Court, it gives the high court an opportunity to say, yeah, you all are basing your decisions based on an aberration regarding the Establishment Clause. We have now returned to the original public meaning of that. It has nothing to do with the sort of stuff that you're talking about. Therefore, the actions you're challenging are, in fact, constitutional. So I think there's a great opportunity to move the law in a good direction as this case goes up on appeal.
And even more so as we see more judicial picks by the current president.
Absolutely.
Filling the appellate courts and up at
two. A home run, Tony. He's doing a fantastic job with judicial appointments.
Absolutely. Ken Kukowski, as always, great to have you, and look forward to seeing you at the Values Voter Summit this
weekend. Thank you, Tony. God bless.
All right, that's Ken Kulkowski, a brilliant legal mind. Go to TonyPerkins.com, follow links over. Look, there's a silver lining here. This is kind of that last grasp of breath from the left. They're doing everything they can. All right, don't go away. Michelle Bachmann is next here on Washington Watch.
Every day, the Christian worldview is increasingly being pushed out of the public square and out of public policy. Family Research Council is an organization that works to advance faith, family, and freedom in public policy and culture from a Christian worldview. We want you to know that we are your advocate in our nation's capital. To learn more about FRC, go to frc.org and follow us on social media to receive our action alerts and stay up to date on the latest news.
Is being right enough to win an election? Political history proves otherwise. The candidate who organizes and communicates the best will beat the opposition, no matter how right the other side is. Christians who are running for public office have a moral obligation to study and learn how to win. They must discover the real nature of politics. Robert Ornakis is one of the country's top political trainers. Hear him discuss the real nature of politics and how to overcome the odds to win an election at frc.org/speakers. The Family Research Council had the pleasure of hosting Dr. Michael Paulson to speak about how Christians can respond to arguments against religious liberty. Dr. Paulson argues that religion is different and deems exemptions within the law. A religious person believes in God, and God's sovereignty requires complete devotion, whereas government only requires allegiance and civil duties. The Constitution itself treats religion differently, giving America religious liberty and the freedom to exercise. Visit frc.org/university to hear more about this issue.
If you had to make a law, where would you start? America's founding fathers determined law from a fixed source, God, but culture has shifted the focus to man's self-determined law. If truth is no longer determined by God, it becomes subjective and open to interpretation. In an incisive new paper, Peter Johnston traces the origins of these dangerous trends in American law and the importance of staying true to our founding principles. To view FRC's new publication, go to frc.org/decay.
I'm Tony Perkins. This is Washington Watch. Glad to have you along on this Monday afternoon, Columbus Day. That's right. It's Columbus Day. We're celebrating Christopher Columbus. That's right. All right. Last Friday, and we'll talk more about that in a moment, but last Friday I called in. Russ was filling in for me, but I wanted to at least comment on the significant news. The Department of Justice directing federal agencies to respect religious freedom. This is something we've been working on for months, and I think it's going to have far-reaching implications for religious freedom in this country, trying to dial back the hostility we've seen in the last 8 years in particular. Also, the Department of Health and Human Services exempting religious entities from the oppressive Obama contraceptive mandate, which, again, goes back to the intolerance of the Obama administration. With us now to talk about it is former member of the U.S. House of Representatives from Minnesota. She represented the 6th Congressional District from 2007 to 2015. She was a candidate for president. And she is also a featured speaker once again this year at the Values Voters Summit, our great friend Michelle Bachmann. Michelle, welcome back to Washington Watch.
Thanks, Tony. Great to be with you today.
Hey, some good news from the Trump administration dialing back the Obama-era hostility toward religion last week.
Oh, it's absolutely amazing. And I think it's important for all of your listeners on Washington Watch to know how central Family Research Council and your listeners were to making this happen. The Trump administration understood clearly how important the religious liberty issue was to the voters who came out last November. And he was true to his word. And it's because of your leadership at the helm of Family Research Council that we were able to see the president sign this important piece of legislation on the National Day of Prayer through the executive order, I should say, but also now to see it come to fruition through the Department of Justice. Your listeners need to know how wide
widespread these protections are going to be, but also we have Family Research Council to thank, and particularly you, Tony. Thank you so much for bird dogging this to make sure this happened. We thank the president for what he did, but this is really because believers prayed and believed and spoke out on this important issue.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. Thank you for that. It is. I do want to commend the listeners of Washington Watch who act on our calls to action, and that's extremely important. And Michelle, you know from having served both at the state level and at the federal level at in some of the most sensitive positions. Understanding how government works, getting this order is significant, but the actually getting it to be obeyed and put into practice is a whole nother issue, because there's so many Obama appointees and those that were hired during the Obama era that are still in place and burrowed in. They're going to do everything they can to block it. So this is still going to require a lot of work.
It will, because we know that the swamp that we hear about, the deep bureaucracy that never leaves despite whoever is at the helm of the administration, they have their own agenda, and their agenda is not necessarily in line with even what the law is. So they may ignore it. They may slow walk it. They may defy it altogether. That's not impossible to see. That's why the founders gave us the provision that we could actually impeach federal employees if they flout the law. That's why we have to be ever vigilant. Family Research Council will be vigilant. I can guarantee that. They will make sure that this law gets implemented fully through the Department of Justice. I trust our Attorney General, Jeff Sessions, to do the right thing on the law. But now we have to make sure that the people under his direction also follow the law.
Absolutely. And we have a tool to help in that matter. We have a web-based hotline. You go to freetobelieve.com and you can see it there, or just go to tonyperkins.com, follow the links over. If you are a federal employee, a contractor, or a citizen doing business with the government, a transaction of any sort, and you feel that you have had your religious freedom violated or in some way attacked by the federal government, hey, we've got attorneys standing by ready to defend you and ensure that the right thing is done. So go to TonyPerkins.com or FreeToBelieve.com. Hey, Michelle, you're going to be with us at the Values Voter Summit this Friday and Saturday. You're going to be speaking, I believe, on Friday. What are you going to share with the Values Voter? Give us Values Voters. Give us just a little glimpse of what you're going to talk about.
Well, I want to give hope and encouragement to the people who are there, because so many things that are happening now because of this important, miraculous vote that took place last November to put the Trump administration in power. I want them to know that we're seeing movement. So much of it is grounded in the fact that believers have been getting on their knees and praying, and God is answering those prayers. It is continuing. As a matter of fact, I'm here in Washington, D.C. today. I was on the mall. I was with prayer warriors on the mall, and people should be encouraged. There were literally tens of thousands of young people praising Jesus and crying out to God. This is moving mountains in our country, and we can be extremely grateful for that.
You are absolutely right. In the midst of the bad things that we see, the frustrating things that are happening, we've got to see the good things that what God is doing.
Amen.
And the answers to prayer. Michelle, thanks so much. Look forward to seeing you at the Values Voter Summit.
Will do. Bye-bye, Tony.
All right. Former Congresswoman Michelle Bachmann. Hey, you can catch her Friday at the Values Voter Summit. To find out more, go to TonyPerkins.com. All right. When we come back, we're going to go to the phone line. So don't go away. There's more Washington Watch and your phone calls to come.
Are you worried about the moral direction of America? Do you feel powerless to make a difference? Family Research Council is an organization that works to advance faith, family, and freedom in public policy and culture from a Christian worldview. Established in 1983 in Washington, D.C., Family Research Council conducts research, develops policy, drafts legislation, and educates policymakers, pastors, and the grassroots. It testifies before Congress and shapes public debate through the media and internet. Every day, the Christian worldview is increasingly being pushed out of the public square and out of public policy. We want you to know that we are your advocate in our nation's capital. To learn more about Family Research Council, please visit us at frc.org and follow us on social media to receive our action alerts and stay up to date on the latest news. Again, that's frc.org.
In a free country like ours, it's easy to forget that slavery still exists. Human beings are being trafficked and sold for sex against their will. Human trafficking is a horrifying scourge that continues to haunt America, particularly through the proliferation of illegal online transactions between traffickers and buyers. As part of the FRC Speaker Series, Congresswoman Ann Wagner discusses congressional anti-human trafficking initiatives and how the conservative community can best be engaged in combating this horrific crime. Congresswoman Wagner, who introduced highly anticipated legislation in April that allows states and victims to fight online sex trafficking, focuses on online sex trafficking via Backpage.com and other websites, and confronting the demand for sex trafficking in American culture. Find out more about Congresswoman Wagner's recent legislation and ways you can help stop trafficking at frc.org/speakers. Again, that is frc.org/speakers.
If you had to make a law, where would you start? America's founding fathers determined law from a fixed source, God. But culture has shifted the focus to man's self-determined law. If truth is no longer determined by God, it becomes subjective and open to interpretation. In an incisive new paper, Peter Johnston traces the origins of these dangerous trends in American law and the importance of staying true to our founding principles. To view FRC's new publication, go to frc.org/decay.
The Family Research Council had the pleasure of hosting Dr. Michael Paulson to speak about how Christians can respond to arguments against religious liberty. Dr. Paulson argues that religion is different and deems exemptions within the law. A religious person believes in God, and God's sovereignty requires complete devotion, whereas government only requires allegiance and civil duties. The Constitution itself treats religion differently, giving America religious liberty and the freedom to exercise. Visit frc.org/university to hear more about this issue.
Welcome back to Washington Watch. I'm Tony Perkins, the website tonyperkins.com. All right, freetobelieve.com is the website. And this is where, folks, this is where, you know, our whole thing with government, it's not a spectator sport. All right, it requires participation. You've got to be a part of this. If you want to protect religious freedom, then I mean, if you want it protected, you've got to protect it. You've got to be a part of that. And so this is a tool that we have. And so maybe it doesn't affect you, but share it. Let other people know it. We've got this initiative set up for those in the military who feel like their religious freedom, their First Amendment freedom, their first freedom has been in some way offended, truncated, attacked, whatever you want to call it. If you're a federal employee, now that these guidelines have come out, and they're really good, that 20 stated principles of religious freedom, basically going back, stating constitutional laws, stating constitutional principles, stating statutory principles reflected from those constitutional principles, and so even case decisions. So this is an important tool. Freetobelieve.com. It's online hotline where you just fill out the information, and attorneys take a look at it, and if they agree to take your case based upon now this very clear direction from the Department of Justice, we can force these folks in the federal government who are holdovers from the Obama administration and other liberals that, you know, have a beef with religious freedom. We can force them because we've got an administration that is for that. But the president can't fix it all himself. Again, it requires your participation. Freetobelieve.com. Okay, this is what I want to talk about. Going back to our first topic, Christopher Columbus Day. Yes, this is Christopher Columbus Day. It's a federal holiday. folks don't mind taking the day off, but they're complaining, belly aching about who it's for. I mean, when you combine this with, you know, what we saw with this rash of attacks on statues of Confederate Southern generals and such, and look, as Dave Bratt pointed out, slavery was horrible. It's a unbelievable stain on the history of this country. But what led to the abolition movement? What led to the eradication of slavery? I know we ended up, Civil War was fought in part over that issue, but it was before the war ever started, this issue was, you know, hotly debated, and leading the effort to eradicate slavery, as Dave Bratt pointed out, were evangelicals, were believers, were Protestant Christians. So, it's part of our history. But then you go to next, you know, there was some success there because nobody wants to stand up and defend slavery. How can you? You can't. But that's not the same thing as defending history. And then it rolls into the national anthem. So you have, you know, all these NFL players taking a knee, and there's this big thing about, the national anthem represents a racist nation, and so on and so forth. Now we see today a revival in the effort to remove Christopher Columbus. You know, Los Angeles, I mentioned at the top of the program, they basically had a bag over his head and put a chain link fence around him, and it's Indigenous Peoples Day. So, do you think the left is going too far in their attempts to eradicate our history? If so, what do you think we should do about it? Give me a call, 866-372-7234, 866-372-7234, if you'd like to get on the conversation. Do you think the left is, do you think they've gone too far in their attempts to eradicate our history? If so, what do you think we should do about it? Story that is out today in my end of day, my update. The Southern Poverty Law Center, which we talk about frequently because they are the attack dog of the left, they're having some difficulty. You know, they have boasted about their mission to destroy groups that they label as hate groups, groups that now include mainstream conservative and Christian organizations. But it appears that it's their credibility that's being destroyed. Last week, it was made known that the Department of Defense became the latest government entity to publicly distance themselves from, that's right, the Southern Poverty Law Center, a group that's been connected in federal court to domestic terrorism. Assistant U.S. Attorney Brian Field, stated in response to a Freedom of Information request that, quote, all references to the SPLC have been removed from any current Department of Defense training. They were working their way in to be a part of the Department of Defense training. Well, now the Department of Defense joins the FBI and the DOJ and others who have recognized that they're not an objective source. They're a left-wing advocacy organization that is attempting to smear people. By the way, a hilarious video about the Southern Poverty Law Center and all their booty that they have hid down south, you know, all the loot, the treasure that they get. It's been reported that they have somewhere between $69 and $320 million in offshore accounts. Anyway, you can see it by going to SPLCExposed.com. SPLCExposed.com is kind of funny, so you can watch it there. All right, 866-372-7234. Let's go to Mary in Kansas. Mary, welcome to Washington Watch.
Thank you. I was just saying that the people have been having to take a back seat to the people that's always wanted to lose their, towards history and everything. And it's time that the government does stand up for us, that we have Columbus Day, we had Civil War, we have presidents on money. You know, we can't eliminate everything, or we just be wiping out history. We just be sitting around staring at a blank wall. And I listened to a program today on Bot Radio in College of the Ozark.
Mm-hmm.
They are a college in Missouri. And
they are. I've been there.
They said they were going to sign. If you don't stand up for the Pledge of Allegiance and you don't do it, then they're not going to participate. Their students will come home or they will not play, at, you know, be allowed to, for that school to play at their school because they're going to honor that flag. And I just wish more people would stand up to that and do stuff like that.
Absolutely. And I've been there to the College of the Ozarks. Great, great institution. The School of Hard Work, I think, is the University of Hard Work, College of Hard Work, I think they call it. I was out in Colorado last week. I've been off the radio off and on because I've been traveling a lot. I was in Colorado last week, and Colorado Christian has done the same thing. I think the Christian colleges and universities should do that. I think it's a good line to draw in the sand to say, you know what, we are going to respect the anthem. We're going to respect the Pledge of Allegiance. We're going to respect this country. And those who fought, and even those some who died to protect it, we are going to stand for that. We're not going to tolerate those who would disrespect it. I think that's extremely important. That's one way, Mary, I think that we can begin to push back on this. And
okay, thank you. And more people like you on the air will help us.
Well, thank you, Mary. I appreciate that. Thanks for listening and for calling in. And folks, encourage, you know, if you're involved in a Christian college, Christian university, encourage them to do that. The vice president yesterday walking out of the Colts game when the other team refused to or when they took a knee during the anthem. I want to go back to something that Dave, hold on there in Missouri. I'm coming to you next. Something Dave Bratt said, Congressman Bratt said earlier. You know, if you think about it, we're not teaching our history anymore. You know, I took Western Civ in college. I don't have that anymore in most colleges. They certainly don't teach civics. They don't teach government. They don't even teach, a lot of places don't teach history. They teach, you know, social studies, and it's just amazing. We need to make sure our kids are getting this. If they're not in a school that's teaching it, again, you're going to get tired of me saying this, but some of you out there need to run for school board. You need to run for local school board and get on there and make sure this stuff is in the local schools. And in the meantime, you need to make sure your kids are getting this. Make sure they're reading history. There's historical novels that are always great. I mean, just make sure they're being exposed to this. All right, David in Missouri, welcome to Washington Watch.
Thanks for taking my call, Tony. I just wanted to speak to the Columbus Day issue. I think it's sad when we're protesting something like Columbus Day. I get that Columbus was not perfect. I think as Christians, we'd all admit that none of us are perfect. Only mm-hmm. Christ is. But one of the ways that we motivate younger generations to not be consumers, but to be producers, is by putting people who were willing to risk things and go and discover things and be adventurers and explorers. And sure, Columbus didn't discover America necessarily, but he began arguably a revolution in coming to discover this land. And I think when we put that in front of kids, we inspire them to learn and to go out and do great things, not only for Christ first as Christians, but secondly, just as citizens of our country, which we, even if you're not a Christian, we want you to be a good citizen who desires the welfare of the land. And I think that's something that's oftentimes overlooked in this whole discussion about protests over people that aren't perfect.
You know, that's a great point from a standpoint of, number one, that the spirit that drove Columbus to explore, the risk-taking. You know, we see a lot of that today in terms of that risk-taking that young people engage in, which is actually destructive. It's not productive, as you pointed out with Christopher Columbus. And by the way, folks, you ought to read his journal and see the motives behind Christopher Columbus. Now, somebody, well, he just wrote that in there, so that really he did. They just say he wrote in there that he did this for the purpose of advancing the gospel, that was just a cover-up for his, ill intent, whatever. But the point is that he did take great risk. I mean, it's not like jumping on a plane and flying across the country. I mean, he was putting his life, his future at risk. He had to go to a lot of trouble to get the resources to embark upon this journey. And that is the same spirit that really has driven America. And I say spirit, the spirit of risk taking, if you risk a lot, you know, the gain is there. There's the opportunity. And that's what has built this nation. But we've turned that, especially by protesting people, as Dave points out, we've turned that risk-taking into very antisocial, destructive, and harmful behavior. Dave, great point. Thanks so much for listening and calling in. Let's go to Steve in Mississippi. Steve, welcome to Washington Watch.
Thank you, Tony. Good to talk to you. Thank you for taking my call.
Yes, sir.
I'm a pastor and a veteran and a lifelong NFL fan, but I've had to change the way I watch my games now. I used to record the game so I could skip the commercials. Now I skip the game and record the commercials so I can let those advertisers know that I'm not watching the football games any longer. We've got to stand up for what we believe. They're just going to push us until we don't and take over our nation. And it is one nation under God. I believe that completely. I thank you for what you do.
Well, thank you, Steve, and thank you for taking action. And I hope you heard what he said. He's recording the commercials not so he can watch them, but so that he can communicate with those advertisers, hey, I'm not watching these games anymore. You're wasting your money. And money talks. And we talked about this a couple weeks ago, but the NFL is losing ad revenue. They're losing viewers. They're losing ad revenue. And where do you draw the line? I mean, how far will we allow the left to push this nation? And I pin a lot of this on Barack Obama, the former president. You know, first thing he did, he goes on an apology tour, apologizing for America. Look, we know it. We don't need to talk about the fact that there's a lot of things in American history that were not good. But let's talk about the things that were good. Let's talk about the freedom that has been taken to the world. The quality of life for the entire planet that has risen to unprecedented heights because of America. I mean, who is it that is first on the scene when tragedy hits somewhere in the earth, on this earth? Generally speaking, it's the United States. When there is a despot somewhere who is a tyrant, who is it that takes him on? Who stands up to the bully? Well, it's the United States. Who does the UN look to actually do its work? Well, that would be the United States. I'm with Steve. It's time that we stop being silent. It's time we stop allowing these people to tear down America. There's a lot of bad things in this country, but I tell you what, a lot of good, and we've got a chance to save it, the Republic, that is. But it's going to take all of us doing our part. All right, folks, out of time. Sorry I did not get to the rest of the calls, but Lord willing, we'll be back again tomorrow. Hope you will as well. Remember, check out TonyPerkins.com, the Values Voters Summit. You will not want to miss it. It's coming up Friday. Hope to see you there. Until next time, I leave you with the encouraging words of the Apostle Paul found in Ephesians 6, where it says, when you've done everything you could do, when you've prayed, when you've prepared, and when you've taken your stand, by all means, keep standing.
Washington Watch with Tony Perkins is a production of the Family Research Council in Washington, D.C. For more information on anything you heard today, or if you'd like to find out how you can support the ongoing efforts of the Family Research Council, visit TonyPerkins.com. Also, to leave a comment about Washington Watch, call our new watch line at 1-866-372-7234. That's 1-866-372-7234.